It is good to be with you all, but since we are limited on time, we'll go ahead and get going as we gather together tonight to pray together. And as we're doing that, we want to look tonight at praying God's promises. And there's a number of scriptures we could probably go to look at this, but we're going to look at 2 Samuel chapter 7 and beginning in verse 16. So I will read at least the first part of David's prayer. So beginning in verse 16, this is the word of the Lord. "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And I should note that that is the end of God's speaking to David, the Davidic covenant that comes to us at the beginning of 2 Samuel 7. But then we continue in verse 17. "In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, 'Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come, and this is instruction for mankind, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God, because of your promise, and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant know it. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears.'" We're going to stop there. The prayer goes on as David continues to come and beseech the Lord. And we're looking at this passage because, I mean, if we're familiar with 2 Samuel 7, we're likely familiar with it because of the first part of the chapter, the Davidic covenant, the great covenant that God made with David, and where God promised to David to give him a kingdom, to establish his kingdom through the reign and rule of a king who would be one of David's descendants, to establish the rule of this king, this son of David, forever, who would also be the son to God. And, you know, we see that end at that promise stated there in verse 16, which is why we started there. "Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And of course, it's that great covenant promise that God made to his people, that covenant promise which we see repeated throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, beginning in Genesis 3:15. The first or the original covenant promise, or at least with respect to the covenant of grace, when God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." And we see this progress throughout the Old Testament until we get to 2 Samuel 7, where we see that this promised one, this promised seed would be a king, a descendant of David. And of course, we know that this one is the Lord Jesus. And in verse 18, David responds to that glorious promise. He comes before the Lord in prayer before him. And there's a couple of things that we want to see briefly with respect to this that illustrates or demonstrates for us the importance of praying God's promises. The first is that praying God's promises is an appropriate thing to do. That's what David is doing here. He's essentially praying back to God the promise that God has just made to him. Right? He praises God for who he is, right? You are great, O Lord. Your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, he says in verse 23, and then he asks him to fulfill what he has promised. And we might wonder when we see this, like, is this a lack of faith that David has? That, you know, God has just said he's going to do this. Why is David now asking him to actually do it? And it's not a lack of faith. I think you know the answer to that. It is, he's praying that God's promises will come true, and doing so in the full confidence that because of who God is, because of God's character, right, because he is good, because he has shown himself faithful to his people throughout history, and fulfilling his covenant promise, that these promises will come true. And we see that confidence in verse 26. Your name will be magnified forever. The house of your servant David will be established before you. Verse 27, therefore your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. That he is responding because of what God has said, that he is expressing his faith and trust, his confidence in the one who has revealed this. And so it's not a lack of faith that David is expressing here, but an expression of faith. And so it's a proper thing to do. It's also praying God's promises helps give us a right attitude before God. We see this in David's response. If you have an ESV Bible, you'll notice the header, and maybe some of the other translations have this as well. It's David's prayer of gratitude. Now, the header isn't the header for the verse isn't inspired, but it does accurately communicate, describe what David is doing here. And we, like I said, we could look at a number of other passages. Think of Nehemiah, that famous prayer of Nehemiah in chapter 1. He comes before the Lord, and he's recalling a promise that had been given some 1,000 years ago. When he says, remember your words to Moses, as he calls upon the Lord to show himself faithful once again. And the idea, of course, is it's coming before the Lord in humility and thankfulness because of who he is, because he will deliver his promise, thanking him for his sovereign grace. And also, we could look at the Psalm 119, and you could I'd encourage you even to do a search when how many times the psalmist says remember, or in accordance with your word or your promise. But lastly, praying God's promises keeps our prayers kingdom focused on the things of God, reminding ourselves of God's promises, his truth, that we see the big picture of what God is doing. And that's not to say that we shouldn't pray for the details of our lives, but when we pray God's promises, and particularly when we remember his covenant faithfulness, his covenant promises, we are reminded that we are part of something much greater that God is doing in redemptive history, that he is concerned about the details of our lives, but he is working all of these things out for his eternal plan and purpose, which is to gather a people for himself from every tribe and tongue and nation. And of course, ultimately, praying God's promises points us to the one who is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God find their yes in him, that is Christ. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. That it is in Christ, through Christ, that we come before the Lord. We pray and lean upon God, recalling his promises and praising him for who he is and what he has done and what he will do. So let us now enter our time of prayer together. And why don't we begin by praising God for who he is, what he has done, recalling his faithfulness, his covenant promises to us. If you don't have the prayer sheets, there's still some. Brian will pass them around. Let's pray together.